Welcome into Vern's post-game show.
Went to his left, picks it up, spins, jumps, throws to first. In time, he got him. Wow.
Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
Yeah, here I am. I'm bummed out on a Tuesday. Oh, my gosh. Good evening. Welcome in. Royals lose 6-5. They drop the series to the Boston Red Sox, and I have no idea what you want to hear from me. I feel like no matter what I say, it's going to be met with an eye roll or it's going to aggravate you. But I'm bummed out, man. I can't lie. I'm not able to turn it on and give you the same kind of positivity that I spewed last night. Now, I remain a positive baseball fan in Kansas City. I think Royals fans should remain very optimistic moving forward in the final 47 games of the season. But I just don't think you want to hear from me. So let me give you the phone number right out of the gate. 913-586-7610. If you were one of the more than 21,000 that turned out tonight, we're going to get you right to the front of the line. Again, the phone number, the text line number, 913-586-7610. I'll take your thoughts on this. 6-5 Royals loss. I'm also very happy to take your thoughts, your memories, your moments, your experiences from this Tuesday night at Kauffman Stadium. Which, I know you don't want to hear this, but that was a very entertaining game. Listen, I'm not saying it to make you feel better. I'm trying to pick myself up. If I'm being 100% honest with you, if you've listened before, I've done this from time to time, man. But I am bummed out after this one. Now, why am I bummed out? It's not just that they lost. I mean, you can't say anything right now to a Red Sox fan. If you're in Kansas City, if you're repping Royal Blue, Royals are 1-4 against Boston. Now, they've only been outscored in those five games. They've been outscored by a grand total of 6 runs. You know, so that's why I'm so bummed out. Again, I'm not trying to get all nerdy with you tonight. Now, Royals handled the Boston Red Sox the first time these two teams played. Like the first game, Royals jumped out to a 4-0 lead and never looked back. But they were shut out in the second game. They lost by 1 run in the third game. Lost a frustrating one last night. And they lose by 1 run to Boston once again. Bummed out, not even bummed out about the season series. I know a lot of you put a lot of stock into this series because of that. Because you want the Royals to have the tiebreaker over Boston if these two teams are elbowing one another for the final wild card spot. I understand the importance of the season series. I just wanted the mental advantage. I wanted the Royals clubhouse to know that they're on the same level, if not superior, to this Boston Red Sox team. And now there's a way they can convince themselves of it. Like I just mentioned, you're not getting railroaded by this team. You know, you're not getting trucked. No, you've lost by a grand total of 6 runs. But I can tell you this, when Boston's getting on the plane, they're begging to see the Royals again. Now think about what the Red Sox have seen out of this Kansas City ball club. 5 games, 1 quality start, 1. Cole Reagans in the first game threw a quality start and the Royals rotation hasn't done it since. Now we're starting to understand why I'm so bummed out. Not agitated, not frustrated. It's tough to be angry after this game, this entertaining, very entertaining baseball game, just like last night. So I'm having, you know, I'm not frustrated, but I'm bummed because that 3-game series in Boston, the Royals had Singer, Lugo, and Reagans on the hill. This series, Singer, Lugo, and tomorrow it's Cole Reagans. Royals are 1-4 with their big dogs on the bump against a team that you would like to believe you're on the same level as. Honestly, I would like to think that the Royals are better than Boston, right? They have the better rotation. They have the better defense. They have more team speed. And yet, now the defense again today. Michael Massey giving Boston a pair of runs. I know Mass made up for it with that solo bomb in the fifth. Well, kind of made up for it. Here's why I'm so bummed out is what this Royals team does at an elite level. They've been outdone in those facets by this Boston team. Boston starters have been just as good, if not better. Boston's defense has been better on the base paths, at the dish, and out of the bullpen. They've been better. I know the offense had chances. The offense stayed in the game. But even the Royals' offense tonight, man on second, nobody out. The game-tying run on second base with nobody out, and you can't get them home. Let's go to the phone calls and start off with Randall. You were one of the 21,000 in the building tonight. Randall, what do you think, man?
Yeah, this is Randall. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing great. Well, you know, I was at the game. I'm on my way home, and I'm just thinking the Royals had their chance, and they let it slip through their finger. The aired second base, I understand how it happened with the runner running in front of him, but he had to make the play, right?
Got to get one out.
That's right. And then we come to the play at home plate, and I think Lugo, you know, he waited for the runner to come to him instead of he had time to move up the base path to meet the runner, and therefore the runner had a chance to slide that hand on him. You look at those two things, and we come away with a 5-4 win tonight. So I think we were there. I don't disagree with your comments, though. I think the Royals are just a step behind matching up with these playoff teams. We seem to just find a way to lose against these teams, and I think that's maybe a maturity issue from some of these young players. But I think the other thing is, you know, Lugo had a pretty good game tonight. If you go back and look at it, it was 3-3 until I think we let him pitch. The last two outings he's pitched, we've let him pitch one inning too much. And it was coming after that complete game that he pitched. And I just, he hit that 89 pitch mark. And after that, he went downhill in both of his last two starts. And I think I got to look at the manager there and say, come on, you got to know and be aware of what's going on with your pitcher. So that's what I got to say tonight.
I appreciate the phone call. Way to get us started, Randall. Last time we saw Seth Lugo, he threw 8 innings of one-run ball against the Detroit Tigers, correct? Yeah. So I don't know about the last, you know, maybe you're talking the time before that for Lugo? No. Okay, maybe the last outing in Boston, I don't know exactly. Yeah, again, but the thing is, Randall, you mentioned that wild pitch. That wild pitch came in the sixth inning. Yeah, listen, well, let's go back to the phone calls. I don't need to defend Matt Quatrero. No, I'm not in love with the bullpen, to be quite honest with you guys. I'm sorry to the bullpen members. I respect you. I'm not trying to trash you. I don't think I'm really going out on a limb. But if you ask me, who do I want on the mound, Seth Lugo or anybody in the Royals bullpen, I'm choosing Seth Lugo. No, I'm running him back out there in the sixth inning. I'll tell you that right now. 88 pitches. Yeah, Lugo's, to me, has earned it. Certainly more than Sam Long getting a clean sixth inning, because then you still need to get through the seventh, eighth, and ninth. And hey, maybe it would have worked, Randall, right? Sam Long's perfectly capable of throwing up a clean sixth. You saw what Chris Bubich did in the seventh and eighth. He certainly did his job. Will Smith was nasty in the ninth. You had Urseg available. Yeah, you know what? Hindsight being 2020, Randall, no doubt about it. You're right. Appreciate the phone call. Let's go to Nico. He was in the building tonight to see his boys lose 6-5 to the Red Sox. Nico, what's happening?
Nothing much. How are you?
All right. Bummed out.
Yeah. You're telling me. I just ate 9 hot dogs just to watch our boys come up short. I mean, I feel like every time we roll out Adam Frazier.
Did you think that was going to help him?
Yeah, I mean, I got to get my run support. I mean, all these dogs, I mean, they get worse with each bite.
Yeah, well, that's on you, man. I don't understand.
We're rolling Adam Frazier out every game. Like, are we trying to win? I mean, we need to be starting Fermin every game. He's a dog. And, I mean, DeYoung was almost.
Frazier didn't start yesterday.
Thankfully. But then we pinch hit Garrett Hampson. Like, what are we doing? I feel like we're trying to lose these games.
Right. But then, yeah, so you just haven't been really watching much. Yeah, put the hot dog down and watch a game, buddy. I appreciate the phone call, Nico. Let's go to Chase, who's in the building. Chase, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead, pal.
Hey, it was a lot of fun out there tonight. Another good crowd again today. I was there last night. Another good crowd. Vern, I want to talk about the one spot. My opinion, I think we need Mikael Garcia in that one spot. Massey's been doing good. He's been getting on. I like it, but he's got too much pop to be hitting one. We need a guy who's got speed like Mikael in the one. And I'm with the last caller, too. I don't see a need for Frazier in this lineup. I just don't. If he can come off the bench against a righty from the bullpen, that's great. That's great. I think that's what his role is. We don't need Frazier in the lineup. I'm with the last caller. Vern, thanks for taking my call. I'll listen off air. Thanks, man.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that phone call. Does anyone know the last time Adam Frazier started a game? It was July. The hell are we talking about? Mikael Garcia was worse tonight than Adam Frazier was. Right? Frazier 0-for-3 with a walk and a punch out. Mikael Garcia 0-for-4 with 3 punchies. Thanks for the phone call. 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. I mean, I agree that Mikael Garcia, put it this way, this team's at its best when Mikael's in the leadoff spot and giving you productive at-bats. But lately, Mikael's done more damage to the bat rack and the helmet rack than he has to the offerings from the opposition. But yeah, I would love to see him up there in the leadoff spot. He needs to earn it. I mean, honestly, if you want to talk about the issue at the top of the Royals lineup, the solution is Bobby. Have Bobby up there. I'm not saying do it because I don't think Bobby wants to do it. I don't think he enjoys, feels comfortable as the leadoff hitter. And I don't know if anything matters more in this organization than the happiness and comfort of Bobby Witt Jr. So I understand why he isn't the leadoff hitter, but he's the obvious choice. And if it's not him, yeah, I'm with you. It's Mikael Garcia. And right now, Mikael doesn't deserve it. So you trust the numbers. Go with what the computer pumps out. Massey tonight, 1-for-5 from the leadoff spot. Hits his 10th home run of the season. A 2-out blast in the 5th inning. Cuts the deficit to 1. That was a no-doubter. 434 feet to the second deck of the drink in right center field. That was a beautiful swing. Massey has a beautiful swing, doesn't he? When he's not trying to do too much, puts that nice, easy swing on it from the left side, man, it's pretty. Let's go to JD up in Parkville. JD, what's happening, buddy?
Hey, Vern, how you doing?
I'm bummed out. How are you?
I'm good. First-time caller, man. I appreciate what you did.
Good to have you.
Awesome. Now, I just wanted to say what you said earlier this week. Boston's really good. Yeah. They're a good team, and we played some good games so far with them. I'm looking on the positive side. I'm looking at the big picture. I think we're going to do well in the stretch. I just want to keep it positive tonight, and I appreciate everything you do. And just wanted to call and say, stay positive. I'll listen
Heck
off
yeah.
the air.
And here's the thing, you know, a previous caller mentioned, losing these close games. being unable to make that key play that's going to give you that victory against these upper echelon teams, right? That point was brought up. Because of the youth on this team, the fact that Michael Massey and Bobby Witt Jr., tonight Vinny Pasquantino and MJ Melendez and Dyrone Blanco, tonight Kyle Isbell and Michael Garcia, Sam Long, Chris Bubich, all, every one of those guys I just named, tonight was the biggest game of their big league career. Pressure-wise, expectation-wise, attention-wise, now maybe they felt more anxiety before their big league debut or their Royals debut or coming back from an injury, whatever. But as far as big league pressure, it's never been higher than it was tonight. Until tomorrow. Because you cannot get swept at home. So, the fact that these Green Royals nightly are playing in the biggest baseball games of their lives, you would hope is going to pay dividends down the stretch. 47 games to go. Of those 47 games, 35 of them are against teams at or above 500. So sure, Boston has the Royals number. They've won 4 of 5, even though the games and the run differential between the two teams is very, very small. The Royals will have more chances, right? I've talked about that riptide that's coming down the pike. 20 games against playoff teams. The Royals still have the pen in their hand. They will write their story. It is not complete in the least. Man, I needed that, JD. Way to pick me up, buddy. Great job. Phone lines are open for you. 913-586-7610. And loosening up a little bit, feeling less bummed. JD, pick me up. Let's see what Josh and Olathe can do. Josh, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks, Josh, for taking my call tonight. Geez, some of your callers tonight need to stop drinking that Haterade and drink some Gatorade. Nice. Talking about Michael Garcia being the one spot. He's definitely not earned it. 3 strikeouts tonight. I do like seeing Nick Lofton down in AAA hitting .336, playing first base, making see him keep, you know, hitting the baseball, maybe back up in big leagues. What's your thoughts on Nick Lofton maybe coming back up to big leagues and maybe sending someone else down?
Who do you send down, though? Who do you send down, Josh?
Well, a lot of your callers tonight do not like Adam Frazier. So maybe if you DFA...
No, you don't send him down, you cut him.
Yeah, you DFA Frazier and bring Lofton back. At least, you know, you can open a spot on the big league roster.
Yeah, that's an idea. I got you down, Josh. I appreciate it, buddy. Yeah, Nick Lofton tonight, 2 for 4 with a double in Omaha. Nick Lofton isn't a AAA player. He's been throwing out 2-3 hits basically every night since he was sent back to AAA. I agree that Nick Lofton's better than a AAA player. Is he an everyday big leaguer? Not yet. Can he be a bat off the bench? Yeah, possibly. I mean, he could be an average, you know, a singles hitter off the bench. I don't know if you really want to give a roster spot. Now, when I look at Adam Frazier, I think Frazier's given you a better plate appearance than Nick Lofton is. I think Paul DeJong and Nick Lofton on the same roster is redundant. So I like the lefty bat of Adam Frazier. I also love what he brings inside the clubhouse, inside the dugout. Now, I'm not saying he's on the playoff team. I'm not saying he makes the 26-man roster for the World Series. But on August 6th, I still see a spot for Adam Frazier, personally. Speaking of the minor leagues, Jack Caglione, the Royals' top pick, made his minor league debut tonight. He went 1 for 4 with a double to right field, 1 punch out. River Bandits win as they shut out the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers 5-0. Nice to see Caglione hitting third, playing first base, swinging a big bat. Unfortunately, again, at the big league level, Royals lose 6-5. They're still 11 games above 500. Cleveland was rained out, so the Royals are now 5.5 games back of Cleveland in the division. 5.5 back, 7 more meetings with the Guardians. Those 7 meetings come within that riptide, that stretch of 20 straight against playoff teams. All right, let's go to Dean, who was one of the more than 21,000 in the building. Dean, what do you have for us?
Hey, Vern. I apologize because I have missed the last 20 minutes of the show because I walked out to my car and had a flat tire on a car that was sold to me a week ago.
Puke. I'm sorry to hear that, buddy.
And while I wasn't listening...
I can't believe you still called me after that. Holy cow. I'd be so frustrated.
Yeah, I'm just leaving the stadium, and I assume people were talking about the overturned call at home. And these referees, these umpires are probably more crooked than the guys that sold me this car.
Okay. Nice setup. I like it. I'm not going to fight you. I was shocked when they overturned it. I could not believe it. I know.
I don't know who needs to try six more. The referees that called the game or Frazier striking out left and right. I mean, come on, Vern.
What are you talking about? He only struck out once. Mikel Garcia is the guy that punched out 3 times. Renfro.
Let me change the subject a little bit. I just got married, and I would be more than happy for Michael Massey and Bobby Witt to have all of my children. Have a good night.
That's a weird thing to say. Yeah, you're a weird guy, Dean. I'm starting to understand why that person let the air out of your tire. All right. Thanks for the phone call. 913-586-7610. If anyone else wants to... you know what? I don't even want to make that joke. Nope. Too many families driving home after a great night at Kauffman Stadium to make a gross joke like that. But yes, yeah, hey, the overturned wild pitch run scored. Yeah, listen, you know me. I don't like to sit around and whine about the umpires, by the way. Umpires in baseball, it's all right. You know, we don't have, you know, it's the manager, not the coach. Umpires, not the referees. Anyway, I was shocked. Not that I thought it was the wrong call, but I was shocked that it was overturned. I never saw clear and convincing evidence to overturn it. Now, that's just me. I'm getting old. I have to wear glasses now. Maybe I couldn't see very well. But it sure does feel as if the Royals have been jobbed by that call at least 3 or 4 times this season where, hey, we can't find the clear and convincing evidence. I know you guys think that was a foul ball, but we don't know for sure, so we're going to call it a 2-run home run. Yeah, when I watched that replay, okay, yeah, I'm not sure, but what was the call on the field? Safe? Out? It was out? Then he's out. And, I mean, Dom Smith was the base runner that scored that run. The 4th run of the game, breaking a 3-3 tie. He hesitated, too. That ball got past Salvador Perez. And Dom Smith, do I go? Do I don't go? I'm going to go back to the base. And then he decides to go. Man, he needed to be out at the plate because, again, the Royals' pitching, defense, and team speed needs to be an advantage, especially against teams like this. Now, you can beat Detroit with your B-minus game. You can beat Chicago with your B-minus game. You're not beating Boston with your B-minus game. Now, and if you don't out-pitch, starting pitching-wise, out-defend and outrun the opposition like Boston, well, then there's no way for this team to put together an effort better than a B-minus game. So, yeah, that hurts because, you know, Salvi made a good throw. I thought Lugo made a good tag. Did he wait until Smith slid into him? I mean, he had the ball and glove in front of the dish. Okay, fine. maybe he could have been more aggressive with the tag. Either way, Dom had to slide into his glove. Ah, whatever. I just hate complaining about replay because it's replay. Get it right. And if you're not sure, let the call stand like you've done all year. Anyway, I'm sorry. Let's go to Matthew in Fairway. Matthew, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead, buddy.
Hey, Varun, long-time listener. I appreciate you, man.
Nice.
I just wanted to say, I'm with the caller earlier, man. You know, I'm a long time, 28 years old. I grew up in this city, long-time fan, been up and down. I just think we got something, you know, that none of us expected this year. And we got the best baseball player in the MLB on our team. Yep. And it still just feels surreal to me. So, you know, I think we got the makings of a team that could do something special in October. And, you know, we're right here with the Sox tonight. And I'm just so optimistic. And again, appreciate everything you do, Ben.
Hey, I appreciate what you do, man. You're picking me up, Matthew. I love it. Thanks, man. Yeah, Bobby Witt Jr. tonight is 48th multi-hit game. Get this. Bobby has twice as many multi-hit games as he does hitless games. Does that make sense? Bobby's played in every game this year, 115. That's the most in baseball. 48 times he's had multiple hits in the game. 24 times he's gone hitless. The kid's a freak. His .343 batting average is the best in baseball. Tonight he scored his 95th and 96th runs. That's the most in Major League Baseball. Tonight he collected his 157th and 8th base hits. That's the most in baseball. Hit his 32nd double, third most in baseball. I mean, I could do this really all night. Do you want? Yeah, all right. OPS. It's now 976. That's top five in the sports. And the first inning extra base hit now gives him 62. Only Shohei Ohtani and Aaron Judge have more extra base hits than the 24-year-old Bobby Witt Jr. Final score, Boston 6, Royals 5. Royals have suddenly lost 6 of their last 7 here at Kauffman Stadium. Let's go to Kyle in Olathe. Kyle, you're next up on the post-game show. Appreciate you hanging on, buddy. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. Tough night. A very tough night. I think we're all kind of getting ahead of ourselves. I know it's late in the season, but I kind of want to, you know, put the perspective out for the season. We have 50 games left. That's about maybe a month and a half of games. And, you know, the Royals are trying to do something that – no other team has done, and that's, you know, have the largest spread from the past season. I think, you know, sometimes, you know, with this great game of baseball, you're going to have ups and downs, and you're going to have, you know, the downs that really piss you off. And this game, you know, pisses a lot of Royals fans off. But I think that this
– I haven't heard anybody pissed yet, I'll be honest. I've heard people bummed out like me. Nobody really ticked off.
Well,
I haven't looked at the text line, though. Maybe the text line's going crazy.
I don't know. I would be surprised if nobody's pissed off. But at the end of the day, this team has something else in them. They're starting pitching. They're batting. I think sometimes you got to, you know, I think right now this series is the Poke the Bear series. You kind of have to get smoked at home a little bit, you know. All your stuff getting, you know, thrown down the drain. You know, maybe to this, in my opinion, this is the series that, in my opinion, makes this Royals team that is very talented, very, you know, able to create that spark that we haven't seen in Major League for a while.
So you're saying this is like their J-Lo game? This is their, like, enough? After this game today, no more. They're taking control of things from here on out. That's what you're saying?
I mean, I hope they take control, but, you know, I think Bobby Witt Jr. and Pasquantino Salvi, I think these guys, and especially the starters, you know, hopefully as fans and as a team for themselves, you know, realize that it's getting down to the bottom.
Yeah.
And sometimes you got to get smacked by a team that's behind you and, you know,
no, I got you. Kyle, I appreciate the phone call, buddy. Yeah, Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi tonight went 6 for 12. They scored 4 runs, and they drove in a pair. They did their job. You know? Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi did what they've basically done all season. Seth Lugo did not. The Royals' defense did not. And for the second straight night, Boston's defense and starting pitcher did. Now, that's why it was such a bummer. Such a bummer when the things that you do better than almost anybody in the sport, someone else comes to your building and does those things better than you. Better win tomorrow. Not because of the wild card race. I don't care about the wild card race when there's 47 games to play and you're only 5.5 back in the division. I don't care about the season series with Boston. It's disappointing that it once again goes to Beantown. You can't get swept at home. Bottom line, you can't get swept at home when you're throwing Singer, Lugo, Reagans. I don't care who's in the other dugout. The Yankees, this year, 98... it doesn't matter. 27, put them all in that other dugout. You don't get swept 3 games at home with your big three Cy Young Award candidates on the bump. Can't happen. Royals lose tonight 6-5. If you're on hold, stay right there. We got to take a quick short break. We're back with more of your phone calls as the Royals fall to 11 games above 500. We're back to your calls after this.
You're listening to Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app. Welcome back to Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app.
Swing and a high fly ball, deep right center, way back, and that ball is gone! Long home run! Into the fountains. Michael Massey pulls the Royals within one. With his 10th home run of the year.
434 feet. Michael Massey getting nice in the fifth inning. A 2-1 changeup from Brian Bayo. It was down in the zone, but it split the plate. And just a gorgeous swing from Michael Massey. Again, his 10th home run of the season. Royals have now homered in 12 consecutive games. The third longest streak in franchise history. Michael Massey, 1-for-5 out of the leadoff spot tonight with that home run that made it, cut the deficit to 1. Made it a 3-2 Boston lead. Royals would tie it up 2 batters later when Vinny Pasquantino belts one 408 feet to the wall in right center field. An RBI double scores Bobby Witt Jr. and we're knotted up at 3 at the end of 5. Red Sox would put 3 on the board in the 6th inning, and that's all they would need. The Royals would make it close, scoring 2 in the 8th, but ultimately falling by a final score of 6-5. Michael Massey, 7 of his last 8 hits have gone for extra bases, and tonight manning second base, putting up another solid night at the dish. Michael Massey this season as a second baseman has an OPS of an even 800. The league average second baseman is delivering an OPS of 673. I have to imagine that they're... Yeah, now that Jordan... Who's playing second base for the Orioles now? They got Holiday over there? I just can't imagine there's another second baseman shortstop combination where... 800 at second base, 976 at shortstop... Throw in what Freddie and Salvi are doing behind the dish, and man, oh man, do you have something that I don't know who else in baseball can match that. Philly, no. Baltimore, I don't think so. You just don't see that type of production from catcher, backup catcher, second baseman, shortstop. It's pretty nice. Let's go to Rodney in Baser. You're on 610 Sports Radio as the Royals fall to the Red Sox, 6-5, dropping the series.
Hey, Vern, appreciate you and everything you guys do. I really enjoy listening to you.
Thanks.
So here's my thought, and this is I was not at the game. I was at Johnny's in Parkville watching the game.
Good spot.
And I want to revisit the bottom of the eighth. Bottom of the eighth, Vinny singles a second. Salvi doubles to deep right. Vinny scores.
Left. To left, well, yep.
Fair enough. MJ doubles, right? Vinny scores.
Yep, two-run double. Yep. So did Salvi.
Correct, and we're down by one with zero outs.
Yep.
Why do we not bunt the runner to third base? And I'm going to say this as a extremely successful, and you'll appreciate this, Vern, 14U softball coach, so you can appreciate my talent. I'm just kidding.
Okay. Why do we I didn't know how serious we were being there. Okay, yep.
Yeah, no, so everybody's bashing on Adam Frazier tonight, and I understand that. We bunt the runner over. What does Adam Frazier do the next at bat?
No, it was Hunter Renfro. It was Hunter. Hunter Renfro was up next.
No, and he grounded out to third base.
Right. So he didn't get the job done. He's got to hit the ball to the right side.
My point is, why do we not bunt Hunter Renfro, and then Adam comes up, goes to center field, we score the run and tie the game? That's my question. And I'm not – I love Mac Montero. Like, my question is, we have zero outs with the fastest runner in
– Right. Let me just ask you this real quick, Rodney. And I'm not – it's going to sound like an excuse, but it's just being around big leaguers.
Sure.
Do you think Hunter Renfro's good at bunting? Is there anything about his game or his career that you say, I bet you they ask him to sacrifice bunt a lot? I'm looking at his nine-year career. He has two sacrifice hits.
Absolutely, and I'm going to use one word, professional.
Okay.
He's a professional. Get the bunt down. You move Blanco to third. We score on that run. We tie the game.
Okay, yeah, listen, there's no argument to what you're saying, especially if you're saying be a pro and lay down a bunt. I know a lot of pros.
I get that. That's not his MO, and I understand that. But I think in the situation, tonight was the closest thing to a playoff game that we've had since 2006. Would you agree?
Oh, stop. It's game 115. That means every game from here on out is a playoff game. So tomorrow's just as big, and the day after that, and the day after that. So let's not make it to be too big.
No, but my understanding, give me a game that previous to this that was bigger than tonight since 2016.
Yesterday.
Fair enough, but we don't win. We lose it. We lose the series tonight, not yesterday. And I understand what you're saying, but it's a one-run game. Bunt the guy over, and we have one out, and we have an opportunity to score. That's all I'm saying.
And you make a great point, Rodney. I appreciate the phone call, pal. Thank you very much. 913-586-7610 is our phone number. Now, there's no arguing with that. It'd be nice. You know, I just don't think Hunter Renfro, and I could be wrong. You know, if you're dialed in on Renfro's career, maybe he was laying bunts down left and right while running into 50 extra base hits in each of the last six full seasons. Maybe he was. Let's go to Jake in Ottawa. Jake, you're on the postgame show as the Royals are 63-52 on the season.
Hey, Vern. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, I was in the house tonight. I was in the house last night. tonight sucked. The last caller, I think he's gotten just a little bit of a point. Like, not necessarily with the bunt, but when you pinch run Blanco for MJ, MJ runs really well on his own. I'm not sure what the thinking is there. Got to get Blanco over to third is less than two outs some way, whether he's stealing or bunting. He's got to do that.
Well, they didn't pinch run him until after the Hunter Renfro at bat.
Okay. Maybe I missed that. Okay. But I thought he was still going to move on over. He eventually did move on over when it didn't really matter. You know, but
yeah.
either way, man, it was, gosh, tough loss. I really think, you know, and I know, I understand that your position is that we're in the division, but man, tiebreaker for the wild card.
Yeah, that's so far away, man. Who knows?
We might have lost it tonight. I mean, that might be our competition right here. And I went to Fenway and watched that series too.
Well, I'll tell you this. Thanks for the phone call. Yeah, let me tell you this right now. If this is the game that cost the Royals a playoff spot, we're not going to talk about it. I promise you. After game 162, nobody's going to call up and go, Vern, game 115. Yeah, we lost our playoff spot by a tiebreaker to the Boston Red Sox, and I want to talk about Hunter Renfro's inability to get a bunt down in that game against Boston back in early August. No, guys, I mean, if the Royals fall a percentage point shy of making the postseason, I can promise you that something's going to happen in the three-game set in New York against the Yankees. One of the seven games remaining against the Cleveland Guardians. The four games in Houston or the six games you have remaining with the Minnesota Twins. Could be the three games that you have upcoming with the Philadelphia Phillies here at Kauffman Stadium. 47 games remain. The season, nothing was decided tonight, I promise you. You know, this wild card thing, I understand it's apparently good for the game as it keeps fans entertained and keeps, you know, more cities in the fight. But I don't know. I just don't hear this in – certainly don't hear it in football. I mean, the goal is winning the division. Focus on the division and the wild card will be there. I mean, who – can the Royals fall out of it? Yeah, no doubt. I think if they're going to fall out of it, if that's going to happen – it'll be during that 20-game riptide. That has the strength of a riptide to pull them under, to drown their postseason chances. But it's not going to happen prior to that. So we're a month away from this team having any sort of nail or hammer or coffin or anything being mentioned as it pertains to their postseason chances. You know, this game... the three games in Fenway. Not saying that they're unimportant, but in no way are they vital. No, tomorrow, to me, it's more about the psyche. You don't get swept at home. The reason why I'm bummed and the fact that, yeah, the Red Sox grabbed the season series from the Royals is just that mental advantage. I don't like them having that over the Royals. Because inside the Royals' minds, the Red Sox had the advantage on them. I don't like that. Let's go to Aaron in Blue Springs. Aaron, you're on the postgame show. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, what's up, Vern? I'm with these last few callers in the eighth inning, but the Renfro thing, I'm with you, is I'm not seeing him getting down a bunt either. He's just not that kind of guy. In the way he's been swinging the bat lately, he kind of let him do that. But my thing is with, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, I mean, you're a pretty good expert at this stuff too.
I just watch a lot.
Thing is with Mikel hitting in that spot, Q likes to do these matchups. He plays these matchups a lot, and he's, you know, somewhat good at it, somewhat bad at it. But if you look at Mikel's splits in the eighth and ninth inning, he's hitting 173 in the eighth and 200 in the ninth.
No. Yeah.
And then you got.
I don't think anybody's looking at that split. No, you can continue. But I don't think anybody's looking at that split. But go ahead. What does that mean? Oh, man. Aaron, you can call back, man. We'll let you finish that point. I accidentally got disconnected. If Aaron calls back, let's get him right back to the front of the line. I apologize for that. Now, I didn't do it. I'm not going to tell you who did it. I'm not in control of who's hung up on. I'll tell you that right now. But yeah, inning by inning splits. I mean, so what? Always pull Michael Garcia out in the eighth and the ninth. I'll tell you this. I feel just the opposite of what those numbers say. To me, Michael Garcia is a guy that enjoys the big stage, enjoys the pressure. I just think right now this dude is so busy beating himself up, and he's not giving him a chance to beat up the opposition. And as I say that, I understand where some of that frustration comes from, especially with that blast he hit last night to center field, only to see one of the best catches by an opposing player we've seen in a long time. You know, that back to the infield Gary Matthews Jr.-esque catch that Rafaela made in last night's Boston victory. Let's go to Elliot in KCK. Elliot, you're on 610 Sports Radio. How are you?
I'm doing all right, Vern. Bunch of funny duddies out here tonight. I'm looking to spread some positivity like you. At this game. Fifth inning, eighth inning were just absolutely electric. Like, I'm not looking at all these inner workings of, is he bunting, you know, this safe call that got overturned and all that. I just...
You're here for a good time.
Yeah. And, you know, here's what I saw. Seth Lugo's a little off his game. Boston Red Sox had a great offensive night. But here's what else I saw. 21,000 Royals fans just having an absolute ball. These kids around me, like it felt like a playoff atmosphere. I'm not looking at the playoffs like all these other guys, but I'm just saying the atmosphere of the field was just absolutely amazing. Like, it was a good night and rough, but I'm looking forward to, you know, 2025, 2026. This is going to be a good couple years here.
Yeah, well, hopefully. Yeah. Hey, Elliot, I appreciate the positivity. Now, I would encourage you to enjoy this and be a little bit more present than you were, right? You're enjoying the people that are around you at Kauffman Stadium. But, buddy, don't worry about 25, 26. No, you can get caught up in the roller coaster that is the Major League Baseball season. Now, and I'm with you. When you see the moves that this front office has made at last year's deadline, this offseason, this year's deadline, yeah, it certainly feels as if you're in good hands with J.J. Piccolo and the rest of this Royals front office. Great. Yeah, he called back. Let's get Aaron in Blue Springs back up. Aaron, apologize for that, buddy. Go ahead. You were talking about Michael Garcia and the eighth and ninth inning splits.
No, yeah, you're good. And I'm not the type of guy that looks at really this stuff anyways either, but, like, I know Q likes to play these kinds of games, and I get why they do it, and I get why they don't do it. But when you got a guy on the bench like Freddie Fermin, who has been a hot hitter of lately, and you look at his splits in the eighth and ninth, he's hitting .304 in the eighth and .350 in the ninth. And I just feel like that's a really good spot for him to come in that position to get that run in. I hear what you're saying about the wild card race and everything. Like, we shouldn't be worried about that because things can change with, you know, 40, 50 plus games
right
left to go in the season. But it's go time for this division. We've got a lot of games against teams above 500, and right now we're sitting at like 27 and 33 against teams above 500. So we're not really showing, you know, the best stats against those teams. So it's, we got to pick up these games when we can. But that's just basically the point I wanted to make. I appreciate you having me back on, though.
Yeah, I appreciate you calling back. Thank you very much. Royals have the best record against their division in the American League. So you talk about it's go time. Royals have been handling their business against the division. And normally that's something that you guys crush this team for. Oh, they only beat Detroit and Chicago. Well, what else are they supposed to do? They're one of only four teams that has 13 cracks at Detroit and Chicago. Might as well win a majority of them. Royals dominated Chicago. They took the season series from Detroit. They've won 4 of 6 from Cleveland. And they could get even with Minnesota by this time next week. So go time in the division. I agree. I can't wait to see another division opponent in the other dugout. I can't wait for those 7 games in 10 days against the Cleveland Guardians. And you talk about the numbers that Matt Quatrero and this coaching staff are diving into, numbers that are coming down from Dr. Daniel Mack and the rest of the Royals front office. Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do more with lefty-righty splits, numbers against certain pitchers, certain pitches, pitch shapes, arm angles. I could be wrong, right? I'm just an idiot on the radio. But I honestly don't think it's the eighth inning. Freddie's really good right now. Get him in there. I don't think that's how it works. 913-586-7610. Let's go to Molly in Prairie Village. Molly, you're next up on the postgame show as the Royals lose 6-5. How are you?
I'm great, Vern. How are you?
Doing great. Nice to hear from you.
Thanks. So I have a question regarding something you said earlier. However, super quick, before I was born, my uncle used to do the postgame shows for the Chiefs and I think the Royals.
Wow, sweet.
Yeah. But anyway, you mentioned that the Royals won't bat Bobby Witt leadoff because he doesn't want to bat first. And I was just wondering why that is.
Is it because he's not as
second or third, or is it because he doesn't think he'll do as much damage? And I'll listen off air. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, let me say this. Bobby will do anything that the team wants him to do. So if they asked him to, he'd do it. He is the perfect teammate, the perfect player, the perfect shortstop. It seems like the perfect friend, maybe the perfect son, maybe the perfect fiance. I mean, I don't know what the young man can't do exceptionally well. He's a great teammate. He'll do it. So if that came across as if, you know, it's him walking into Q's office, hey, Skip, don't you it's not like that. But when he was hitting leadoff last year, he talked about how after the game, that's all he would think about. Am I going to swing at the first pitch tomorrow? Go to bed, wake up in the morning, just thinking about that first at-bat, thinking about that first pitch. And he was anything but free mentally. And again, I don't know if there's anything more important than making sure Bobby Witt Jr.'s in the right space mentally. Could he do it? Would he thrive? There's no doubt about it in my mind. But this is a game that the great Yogi Berra taught us is 90% mental and the other half is physical. So I want Bobby in the right space mentally. Bobby tonight, 2-for-5. The 24-year-old just continues to put up eye-popping numbers this season, this month, this stretch. The guy has 28 hits in his last, or excuse me, he has hit safely in 28 of his last 30 games. A stretch in which he's hitting a whopping .450. 30 games, he's almost hitting .500. My game notes following this 6-5 loss are brought to you by Jays Southland Tow. Be in the know and call Jays Southland Tow. 913-586-7610 is our phone number. We go to Jim in Olathe. Jim, you're next up on the postgame show. How are you?
Hey, Vern. I just got two things to talk about. And this doesn't apply to this game only. I am so ready for electronic balls and strikes. These umpires can't see, obviously. And the second thing everybody's going to scream and holler at me about, but I can't watch Salvi bat anymore when he's swinging at balls that are a foot and a half off the plate.
Well, he's been doing that for years, though.
But he makes contact. He's not making contact now. He's striking out more than he. For the first month and a half, he was swinging the bat great and averaging .320.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, now he's swinging like he's only
going to
hit a home run.
Yeah, well, Jim, what's different from April to August for a guy like Salvador Perez? Right? I mean, it's 4 months for a 34-year-old catcher. I think it's understandable somewhat.
Oh, I do understand. He's getting older.
He was making a run at the Triple Crown in April, and we all knew that was that wasn't going to last.
Yeah, but like you say, we have a young team, and he is he not the only offensive player that's been to a World Series?
Yeah. The only, you have guys that have been to the playoffs, but no, Hunter Renfroe played in that World Series in 2020 where there was nobody in the stands, that weird one.
Yep.
At the Tampa one.
So because he's the captain and he's been to a World Series, wouldn't you want to show the young players that you don't swing at something that's a foot and a half off the plate?
Yeah, I'm sure he doesn't want to. Yeah, I mean, it's not his goal.
Yeah.
That's why he walked and doubled as well, you know.
Well, no, and I'm not saying this game was horrible or anything, but the last month it's been tough watching him swing the bat. And he has, I mean, he's a fantastic player, so he has made some of those wild swings work, but they're not the swings that he was giving us a month and a half into the season.
Yeah. No, I got you. But thank you very much for the phone call. Appreciate it. 913-586-7610. Looking at Salvis, it is, August 6th? All right, so let's go back to July 6th real quick. Past month, you said it's been tough watching Salvi. Okay. Salvi over the past month is hitting 293 with an OPS north of 800. If that's tough to watch, how did you make it through last year? 913-586-7610. Listen, I understand. Yeah, Salvi swings at sliders down and out of the zone. Yeah, he's been doing that for a decade. He's also been mashing for a decade and carving a path to Cooperstown for a decade. Okay, he's not Johnny Bench. I'll give you that. All right. He's not Buster Posey, no doubt. He's not Adley Rutschman. I'll give you that. So he's not those Hall of Famers, future Hall of Famers. He's in a different class of future Hall of Famers. Thanks for the phone call. 913-586-7610. Royals lose 6-5. Big game tomorrow with Cole Reagans on the hill. He squares off with Cutter Crawford. It's a 7-10 first pitch. And I'll have the on-deck show beginning at 6 o'clock. I'll also have your chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Phillies come to town for Lorenzo Cain Bobblehead Day. Yeah, make sure you're listening tomorrow and really for a while. I got a bunch of these tickets. I'll be giving them away 1 hour before first pitch, or at least giving you a chance to win them 1 hour before first pitch each and every game day right here on 610 Sports Radio. We'll take our final quick timeout and get right back to your thoughts after this.
You're listening to Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app. Welcome back to Vern's Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Here's the pitch to Vinny. Swing and a fly ball deep right center, way back there, and that ball is off the fence. Bobby flying around third. He'll score. Vinny drives in another run. His 82nd of the year. With a double to the gap in right center, Bobby scores all the way from first, and we are tied 3-3.
Oh, man, great call. Steve Stewart, as heard here on 610 Sports Radio. Oh, that got the hair on the arm standing up. It got more than 21,000 in the building standing up as the Royals knot things up in the fifth. But in the sixth inning, three Boston runs come in to score as Seth Lugo doesn't allow the tie to last very long. A sinker down, but over the dish to Dom Smith. A sinker down to Dom Smith. He rips it into right field for a leadoff double. And then Sogard steps to the dish. He sees a fastball up in the zone on an 0-1 offering from Lugo, and he pops it into center field. So the Royals and Seth Lugo are stuck in that sixth inning. First and third with nobody out. Lugo makes a pitch. Boy, did he. Unfortunately, before he was able to make that pitch and get Hamilton to strike out, he threw a, what, 58-foot curveball? Gets past Salvi. Run comes in to score. Now, wild pitch leads to the fourth Boston run. Seth Lugo comes out of the game. Sam Long steps into the game and does not fool Yoshida with that curveball up in the zone, an elevated curveball. Masataka Yoshida rips it into right center field for a two-run single. 6-3 Boston at the end of the sixth inning. Royals would score two in the eighth, but fall a run short, falling by a final count of 6-5. 913-586-7610 is our phone number. But Vinny Pasquantino, one of two Royals to have multi-hit nights. I told you about Bobby. But Vinny went 3-for-4. RBI single in the first. That RBI double we just heard. And a leadoff single in the eighth. He would come around to score on MJ Melendez's two-run double. Vinny now has a 10-game hitting streak. He's hit safely in 16 of his last 17. His batting average since the start of July is .325, and his OPS since the start of May is .810. Let's hear what the undeniable Vinny Pasquantino had to say after this one.
Yeah, I mean, it felt like we had a good bit. Crowd was into it, which was awesome. Just wasn't enough. I felt like we had a shot to push there. We just didn't do enough to make it happen.
With that that two-run single there in the sixth, getting past your glove, that's a pretty soft hit, and just getting through the infield. I mean, how frustrating is it to see them go ahead there with first and all pitch and then that single?
Yeah, it's pretty frustrating. Did what we could do to make the play. Didn't happen. Yeah, it's just frustrating. They did a nice job putting the ball in play, making things happen. And they had some, you know, they've done a really nice job. So hat tip to them. Got to get back after them tomorrow.
It seems like one of those kind of games where they just had the little plays like that worked away, that overturn and all those kind of, that kind of stuff. When you guys are going through these series against these teams who you're competing with in the wild card, are you thinking about, like, it means a little bit more when you're facing one of these wild card teams you're battling against? I know they all count theoretically the same, but you feel a little bit more in these games?
Maybe not feel it. I mean, you know, there are some repercussions for these losses. I mean, if, you know, worst case scenario, if both of us are fighting for the three seed, they own the season series now. So, I mean, as far as that goes, that stinks. But at the end of the day, like, you know, what is to come is in front of us. So we can't worry about this tough series right now, because if we start worrying about that, then, you know, we've got other tough series this year. You know, like we've been kind of saying for a few weeks now, you know, every game is big. Just keep stacking wins, and we haven't done that the past two nights, and that's, you know, it's frustrating, but we have another opportunity to get back after Boston tomorrow, and we're excited about that opportunity.
Love it, Vinny. Great job. 3-for-4, a pair of RBI and a run scored. Now, even the way the question's posed to him, as a wild card team, way too many people are talking about this Royals team as if they're the hunted, as if they have this wild card spot that they need to protect. What are you talking about? They are hunters. They're hunting Cleveland. They have nothing. The Royals have nothing right now. Don't tell me about the third wild card spot when there's 47 games to play. You are hunting Cleveland. Boston's in the way. Approach this. I can't believe I'm saying this. This will definitely come back to bite me. Approach this like you do across the parking lot with the Chiefs. You show up to a Chiefs game to see Mahomes and Kelce and Chris Jones. The other team is irrelevant. The goal is winning the division. Do what you do. Mahomes, do your thing. Kelce, Jones, do your thing. And everything will take care of itself. You'll win the division. You'll be there in the end. Show up to Kauffman Stadium tomorrow to see Bobby, to see Salvi, to see Cole Reagans. The opposition is irrelevant. You're hunting the division. Do what has put you in this position 11 games above 500. And what you've done is have the superior starting pitching, the better defense, and the better base running unit. Get back to your standard. Substandard the past two nights. Defensively, on the base paths, and your starting pitchers. Not that Lugo was bad. Singer wasn't bad. But they weren't to the standard that they have set for themselves. We'll hear from Seth Lugo coming up in a moment. Again, you know, Seth Lugo's final line is very deceiving. We'll get to Lugo, but first I want to get back to these phone calls. Travis in Independence. Travis, I appreciate you hanging on, buddy. Go ahead.
Man, Vern, I'm not bummed about this game at all. I'm kind of jacked. These are the types of games that you go back to your locker, you write down this date. You're going to remember it. So when you come across it again later, yeah, you're going to have a little different chip on your shoulder.
Nice.
Number two, isn't it great to have all the callers calling in now? We got the vibe going. Can you feel it?
Yeah, where it's not just me and Big T and Raj and like three other people talking Royals. Yeah, it's fun having people interested in the team, no doubt.
Right, and it just shows, like, Casey, we're going to back them, and now we're starting to get emotions involved. So we got callers calling in saying God knows what. Salvi, leave Salvi alone. Don't bring Salvi. Salvi's fine. He's always going to hack, but that same hack won us that wild card game. So leave Salvi alone. And I'll leave you with this. Like, we also just need to slow down for a minute, too, and take it in. Like, we had this all-star that was phenomenal. We had the home run derby. Like, take it in a little bit, too. Like, right now, George Brett was, like, a mythical figure for me.
Sure.
So, like, I
me
feel
too.
Like we finally got our George Brett. And Bobby Witt's a freak. I mean, man, that's all I got. Burn, always be you, man. That's what keeps me locked in. Don't ever change, brother. Thank you.
Oh, well, that's very nice of you. Thank you very much. No, I'm with you as far as running out of ways to describe Bobby Witt Jr. You mentioned George Brett and seeing that we have some time here. Take a listen to this real quick. Here's what George told CDOT about Bobby Witt Jr.
Obviously, I think he's a lot more talented than I am because of his speed and his arm, his accuracy, and the things that he can do, the power at such an early age. I didn't develop power till I was about 25, 26, but he's got power at 23. He had power last year at 22. But he's, in my opinion, one of the best players in baseball. And if the Royals can get hot, they got the White Sox coming up, and then they go to Detroit. They got to win the majority of those games, obviously, to get to put themselves in a chance. But if the Royals are in contention, they make the playoffs, I think Bobby Witt is a legitimate MVP candidate.
You mentioned this weekend.
Legitimate. I mean legitimate.
I love it. And they did. They ended up winning 6 of 7 against Detroit and Chicago. So George right there says Bobby is more talented than I was. Here's what he said to Rich Eisen about
Bobby. This guy is the best young Royal player I've ever seen in my life.
No kidding.
Yeah, he is unbelievable. Plays shortstop. He runs the bases extremely well. He plays hard. He runs, stretches singles into doubles, doubles into triples. Unbelievable shortstop. Hits for power, hits for average. Got a great arm and covers a lot of ground. I mean, he's a five-tool guy. He's fun to watch. Like last year, Rich, I'll be honest, I bet I went to 25 home games. I bet I've already been to 40.
No kidding.
He's like Bo Jackson. I will never go to the bathroom, never turn my back, never get in a conversation when he's sitting. I watch.
How about that? I mean, what more can you add to that? Bobby Witt Jr., I'll add this to it. Bobby Witt Jr. this season at home at Kauffman Stadium, he's hitting .403. Let's go back to the phone calls and talk with Raj out in the Ozarks. Raj, appreciate it, buddy. How you doing?
Hey, your shows are just the highest quality they've been, but they are just fantastic right now.
It's all because of you guys. It's because of the callers and the good baseball. Yeah. Yep.
Well, all your points you've made tonight, my gosh, Vern, you've about covered it all. I'll just touch on like three of them real quick.
Okay.
Massey, that error, you can't do that.
Can't
Number one, because now we're stretching Lugo, and I'll just leave it at that. I don't really want to talk about this game much more. How about Boston throwing 7 lefties at Brady last night? Mm-hmm. I mean, that guy's doing a good job managing over there. I've been reading about him, and their pitching coach, he doesn't believe in first-pitch fastballs. He believes in first-pitch strikes, but cutters and sliders. So they don't throw, I think it was less than 30% first-pitch fastballs, and it's really working for them.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, the third thing, MJ, way to come through in the clutch, MJ. You're still right at 400 against the Red Sox. But I understand Coach Q. I couldn't argue with him not playing him last night. MJ hitting 125 against the lefties.
Right.
Even though, and that's why. I'm sure that's why he didn't play him. Vern, I'll leave you with this. And it's a famous movie quote. And I'll throw your name in there. Vern, we'd like you to play first base for the Oakland Athletics. And rest in peace, Billy Beane, 60 years old, one of my favorite guys, the book and everything. I just asked.
It's a different Billy Beane. Different Billy
Beane. Yeah, he passed away. Oh, it wasn't Billy Beane.
Yeah, 60? It's not the – yeah, no, not the Moneyball Billy Beane. The former player and the
Gosh, that makes me happy now. Thanks.
well, not for the. I mean, there,
I don't
there
know
was
that
another
guy.
Yeah, well, he's got a. He was a good man too. Great story. Great ambassador. And yeah, rest
well,
in peace.
Thanks for telling me that. God, I was sad all evening about that.
Well, go read go read the other Billy Beane story. I think you know. I mean, I would think you'd
he
find
like,
some.
Yeah,
certain inspiration.
He's like in charge of diversity for the MLB or something. And I thought it was the same guy, but it's not. Okay, good good to know.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, rest in
Vern,
peace, of course. Yes.
I still say 87 is our number. I know you don't want to talk about wild card. I still say it's 87. We got to get 500 the rest of the way. We're minus one right now. So let's go, Royals. Turn it around tomorrow. We'll be back even on the track for a 500 the rest of the way, and that'll get us there.
Yeah, Roger, appreciate the phone call.
That.
Yeah, always nice hearing from you, buddy. I appreciate the support. You say you need 87 wins. The Royals right now on pace to win 89 this season. Listen, Jackson Stone does a great job. He works for MLB.com. He was inside the Red Sox clubhouse today. I don't often go into the opposing clubhouse. But, man, he was raving about the atmosphere in there. About how loose it is, about how much fun they're having. And during the games, I'm always watching dugouts. You know, watch Boston's dugout tomorrow. Watch Alex Cora, man. That dude is loose. Just doesn't look like anything's bothering him. And a great tactician, no doubt about it. He's, well, I mean, you can look at his paycheck. His paycheck says he's one of the best of the game. I mean, the Boston Red Sox waited around for him to be reinstated. Here, you know, Ron Renneke, hold it down for a year, but this job is not yours. That is the guy that belongs in Beantown, right? He delivered him a World Series. No, he's a terrific manager. They're a very good team. You know, at times it does seem as if you're looking in the mirror when you watch that Red Sox team, their speed, their rotation. You know, the Devers, Jaron Duran combo, Salvi, Bobby combo. I like watching Boston. Yeah. That Kenley Jansen thing that they have, oof. Yeah. Maybe gives them a slight edge. Red Sox are 4-1 this year against the Royals, but they've only outscored Kansas City by 6 runs in those 5 games. Let's go to Manny, who was in the building tonight, one of the 21,000. Manny, what do you got for us, buddy?
Brother, tonight's a sad one, but you know what? There's tomorrow.
Heck yeah.
And I think how we respond is going to be huge.
Yep.
And I hope our fan base gets a little lively. We're in a playoff push, and we need voices out there saying, let's go Royals. It was a good time at the ballpark. I was able to take my daughter.
Hi.
Nice.
And,
hello.
She was able to get a Bobby Witt baseball, which that was pretty cool. But
how'd she pull that off?
Right before the game, he threw one up to her, and it was pretty amazing. So
yeah, he's a good dude.
Made a lifelong fan out of her. But my goodness, we gotta come up clutch, and they did. They did tonight. Just sometimes baseball does that to you. So
yeah,
but we're
play
still
here and
loyal,
there.
Loyal. Let's go Royals.
Yeah, I like it, Manny. Appreciate it, buddy. Again, more than 21,000 out here tonight. The Royals averaging just shy of 20,000 a game. Royals averaging the 5th smallest crowds right now in Major League Baseball. I want to hear what Seth Lugo had to say after this game. Lugo, 5 1/3 innings, 4 earned runs on 6 hits, a career-high tying 4 walks, only 4 punchouts. He suffers his 6th loss of the season, but But this begins with Lugo's thoughts on that play at the plate. Dom Smith sliding in. I thought he was tagged out. Ultimately, replay overturned the out call at the dish, and the fourth run of the game goes to break a 3-3 tie. The fourth run goes to Boston on that play at the plate. Let's hear what Seth Lugo had to say after the game to Bally Sports Kansas City.
I wish I would have done like a swipe tag. I could tell that I didn't get his arm and his hand got to the plate, so I was hoping I didn't have good enough video to show that.
Were you in the moment? It's obviously happening fast. Were you just going for the biggest, you know, the target there instead of his arm going through?
Well, when I caught it, I looked where it was coming into home plate, and he had both hands. He pulled one hand back and got around, and at that point, I'm just trying to tag him as fast as possible, and he got that arm around.
How comfortable are you on those kind of plays? It's not something you guys practice all the time. That's spring training. You do a little bit of that stuff. How can you practice a play like that?
Well, you practice in spring training, but never with a runner sliding in. I don't think I've tried to tag a guy out at home plate in 10 years, so, you know, I just beat myself up for not getting that tag in.
A little soft hit after that they got that, you know, got a couple more runs in. You guys feel like you were right there in this game the entire time, and they just got a couple of those little things happen for them?
Yeah, you know, it's a game of inches. You know, if one or two things happens a different way, it's a completely different ball game. But that's the way baseball goes.
With some of those early innings, you were able to maybe dodge a little bit of trouble, specifically that fifth inning. How big was it to get that strikeout of Juan Gary to kind of keep the guys in the game?
Yeah, it was real big. With bases loaded there, can't fall behind too much, and you got to go at them. So, you know, to get them out, get ahead, or even up to count with 2-2, that was kind of the play there. You know, I knew after 2-1 I had to challenge him and got away with the sinker that leaked across the plate, but, you know, that worked out.
With a lineup like they have over there, how difficult is it to kind of game plan knowing that they can put up consistent bats?
Well, you know, there's some good hitters, but, you know, the game plan stays pretty consistent because they roll out 7 lefties, same as yesterday. So, you know, it's just a matter of executing pitches at that point.
Great stuff, as always, from Seth Lugo. Thanks to Bally Sports Kansas City for the audio. Lugo tonight made his 24th start of the season. Only the fourth time he's failed to go 6 innings. 5 1/3 tonight, 4 earned runs for Seth Lugo. And yet you look at the big league standings, his ERA of 2.72 is still fourth best in the show. He's still number one in baseball as far as innings pitched, and there's still nobody in the sport that has won more games this year than Seth Lugo. Royals lose tonight. Lugo loses tonight. 6-5, the final score. Let's go to Connor in Overland Park. Connor, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Hey, Josh, a couple things. For all those Royal fans that give up, they just need to take a deep breath. And Seth Lugo pitched an amazing gym tonight. Thanks for taking my call, man. Bye.
Yeah, no problem, Connor. Bye. Take it easy, buddy. I haven't heard anybody giving up. And I've taken a quick peek at the text line. I'm not seeing anybody give up there. As a matter of fact, you know, I look at the text line. I see Ryan from Olathe giving love to Chris Bubich and Will Smith. Andy from Midtown loving on Will Smith. Yeah, I don't see anybody quitting here on the text line. I see some disappointment. I'm glad you guys are bringing up Will Smith, Chris Bubich. Bubich tonight. 6 up, 6 down, really, if you think about it, because the one base runner that he allowed, it was on an errant throw by Bubich, but then he picked off said base runner. So 6 up, 6 down for Bubich. Scoreless appearance. Now, scoreless in 8 of his 9 appearances this season. His ERA is right around 1.5, and he has 14 punchouts in 12 innings. And as far as Will Smith, yeah, this dude's been rock solid, dating back to the end of April. In his last 31 appearances, Will Smith has put up a 0 in 27 of the last 31 appearances with an ERA as well, right around 1.5. Let's go to Tony in Raytown. Tony, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just kind of want to touch a little bit on what you're just talking about. You know, it seems like our starters carried us for pretty much the first half of the season. We had issues in the bullpen, and now it kind of seems like the bullpen is starting to shape up. For one, I was going to ask you, do you think maybe some of the innings that the starters kind of ate up, and I know they were, you know, they were pitching great and keeping the pitch counts low, but do you think that's kind of starting to take a toll? Because it seems like since the All-Star break, you kind of see with our starters that they seem a little tired. You know, tonight Lugo wasn't on his game, and Reagan, since the All-Star breaks, kind of struggled a little bit as far as pitches and innings. And I know Boston's had a great approach, kind of very similar to Cleveland and Minnesota, where they're taking a lot of pitches. I think Lugo was at like 47 pitches in two innings. I just wanted to know what your thoughts were as far as our starters and the way that teams maybe are now approaching our starters.
Yeah, Tony, I think you're on the right track. I'm sure the fact that Seth Lugo has thrown more innings this year than he has in his career, that Cole Reagans is going to do the same thing. You know, Brady Singer might end up doing the same thing. Michael Wacha could put up more innings than he has in nearly a decade. Yeah, I'm sure that has some effect. I'm not pointing to that as any sort of an excuse or explanation. Because I don't think they, even in their private moments, would acknowledge that. Now, Lugo, Waka's been awesome. Right. You know, Michael Wacha hasn't allowed more than 3 earned runs in a start in more than 3 months. Now, Seth Lugo, Brady Singer. Singer's been really good too, right? Singer went, what, back-to-back 7 innings of shutout baseball? Singer's been studly. Lugo and Reagans haven't been bad. They haven't been average. They've been above average. Okay, maybe they haven't been great as often as they were great early on in the season, but they're still outstanding. And I'll tell you this, if they don't remain elite, if this rotation doesn't remain elite, I don't think the Royals will be there in the end. That's the hallmark, that's the calling card, that's the MO of this team, is a starting staff that gives you a chance to win almost every night. And oddly, or not oddly, but surprisingly, another one of the standards has become... You're getting a quality start in like 50% of your games. That's a ridiculous clip. It's a ridiculous expectation. And yet, here we are. Cole Reagans, you got to deliver tomorrow. I mean, it's no surprise the Royals have one quality start against Boston and one win against Boston this season. Let's go to Steve in Kansas City. Steve, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern, good show. I want to kind of piggyback on another caller. You know, kind of add to what he said. I don't think there's any advantage to winning the division. I couldn't care less if we win a division crown at this point in our development. What we need to be doing, I would rather play a wild card and be the hottest team going into the playoffs. And how you do it is you.
Well, why can't you be a hot team and win the division?
Well, you start.
Why are they mutually exclusive?
I want to start burning all these arms in our bullpen and get them together and have us be the hottest team in baseball in October. And the division really doesn't make any difference to me. If we were much better, if we had a lot more depth, yeah, let's win a division. But I want to be the best we can possibly be in October, not in August, not in the 1st of August when we're still in the playoffs, but barely in the wild card. I mean, I think we have to have the goal of not. It'd be great if we could dominate the Central, but I just don't think that's the.
They have been. They have been dominating the Central. Yeah. Okay. I'm just saying they have been dominating the Central. They have the best record against the division.
I mean, right now, I'm just saying of complete we need to focus on beating the teams we can beat and getting that thing locking down, that bullpen locked down like we had it before. Everybody's playing money.
What are you talking about had before? What are you talking about, Steve, had before? A lockdown bullpen like you had before. What are you talking about?
Well, I'm talking 10 years ago. Everyone
okay, well, don't – well, stop. Stop holding your breath for that. That's never going to happen again.
Even the wealthy teams are playing money ball. So it's all a tournament to be the hottest team at the end. The division title has no significance anymore unless you just want to be like the Braves, unless you want to.
Well, I want a home playoff game. I think a home playoff game would be nice.
Well, I mean, I would rather have a short playoff series and get hot. I don't think.
Well, yeah, you're making that point. No, you're saying the same thing over and over again. Steve, I appreciate the phone call. I got you down, bud. I mean, what you're saying doesn't make a lick of sense. If I'm being quite honest with you, doesn't make any sense. The hell are you talking about? I don't care about the division. I want to be the hottest team. Wouldn't the division winner be the... I don't know. It's been a long show. Maybe this is on me. Maybe Steve's making really good points. He doesn't often, but maybe tonight he did. Who knows? James Howell did a great job. I'm sure you weren't expecting a post-game show to go this long, buddy. Appreciate you hanging out, though. Great work back there. Cole Reagans, come on, bud. Need you tomorrow. I'll talk to you at 6 o'clock for the On Deck Show. Kansas City, enjoy the rest of your Tuesday night. There's like 30 seconds left in your Tuesday night. Whatever. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Take care.
You've been listening to Vern's post-game show.
Blast down the right field line. Hooking. Stay fair. And gone. Pasquantino.
Check out the All Things Vern channel on 610sports.com and the Odyssey app to stay up to date with your boys in blue.
Deep left center. Way back and gone. Another grand slam for Bobby Witt Jr.
On your home of the Royals, 610 Sports Radio. We now take you back to regularly scheduled programming.